Welcome back, guys. DGS 306. Attorney Chet Pleven joins us to give us some updates on the Trump trial. Hey, Chet.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good. So I saw something I thought was really interesting. I wanted to run it by you, the real attorney, and see if you agreed with me. Today, I was watching it live as Jake Tapper was, you know, live tweeting and texting every word that the attorney for Trump was cross-examining Stormy Daniels. And there was one part where he was really going after her for, or she was going after her for being a porn star, and saying things like, "So you're used to lying to people about sex?" And I'm like, "That's the kind of thing Donald Trump would say." Then I'm like, "Oh, that's exactly what's happening. Is these guys aren't cross-examining the way they would. They're taking their orders from their client, which of course you have to do. And if you have a difficult client, which you and I have both had, and I felt like I felt smart. I felt like, oh, you figured something out. You know, did it hit you that way as well?
Yeah, I mean, this has been happening. That's why he had 10 instances where he violated the gag order. You know, they can't control this guy. That's the problem. Try as they will, they can't do it. And so and that he's criticizing them because they're not going after these witnesses in the fashion that he would prefer. And sometimes you want to go after a witness aggressively, and sometimes you don't. But that's the lawyer's call. That's not the client's call. And he's sitting there kind of poking them, sending them notes and all that sort of stuff, and not happy with their, quote, performance. It's not up to his satisfaction. So, you know, Stormy Daniels, first of all, her testimony was completed. Now, that was kind of an embarrassing couple days, I would think, at least, for Donald Trump to sit there through that. And I guess I can understand why he would want his lawyers to go after her aggressively. And I think that they probably did. But again, Stormy Daniels, as I said the other day, she's not the key witness here. Her involvement, as far as the crime is concerned, is minimal. Remember, this is not a sex crime case. This is a case of involving fraudulent business records and in an effort to, with an intent to further other crimes and conceal other crimes. And so really, and while this, you know, Stormy Daniels might be the salacious part of this, and Karen McDougal, maybe if she testifies, will be the salacious part of this, I suppose. But the real nuts and bolts of all of this case boils down to some pretty boring records. A couple days ago, the most important documentary evidence was testified to a couple days ago, and those were Exhibits 35 and Exhibits 36. Those were the bank statements from Michael Cohen showing that he paid Daniels the hush money, and Exhibit 35. So that's pretty mundane. That's pretty boring for a jury to sit there and have a bunch of documents. But those documents are absolutely critical. I don't think at this particular point that there's any doubt whatsoever that Stormy Daniels was paid $130,000. Now, Michael Cohen hasn't testified yet, and Michael Cohen comes with a whole bunch of baggage. And so what's happening here is that the prosecutors are laying the foundation, foundations to corroborate what Michael Cohen will say, because you know that Trump is going to require an order, if you will, these lawyers to go after Cohen aggressively. So you got to establish that Daniels was paid. One of the problems in this case is that Alan Weisselberg, who was the main money man for Donald Trump, he's not going to testify. But the other day they established that by documents that they have his notes, handwritten notes, and those notes were identified by his colleague of 35 years, Jeffrey McConney. He was the former controller for Donald Trump. And those notes handwritten by Wasselberg show the $130,000 payment to Cohen made to Daniels. But they go on, and this is important, they go on to reflect additional amounts added to gross up the quote reimbursement payment. So if you're reimbursing him, you know, you're going to reimburse him. If you paid her $130,000, you're going to reimburse him for $130,000. Well, that's not what they did. And what McConney did when he testified was he spelled it out in his own notes too. And that was Exhibit 36. And that exhibit, and together with McConney's testimony, confirmed that they had calculated, they being the inner circle of Donald Trump, calculated that the amount Cohen needed reimbursement in order to keep him from going out of pocket. So since the payment to Daniels was disguised as income for legal work, albeit the fact that he didn't have any sort of contingency fee contract or any retainer agreement or anything else. But notwithstanding that, it was supposed to be, and according to them, and this is the fraudulent aspect of the business record, it was supposed to be for legal work. But when they gross it up, what they're doing is they're compensating him. I mean, if you're going to compensate him and reimburse him, you're going to pay him $130,000. But that's not what they did. What they did was they grossed it up so that he could pay his taxes on that. And I think he was in the 50% income tax bracket too. I mean, and certainly he'll testify to that. And that was necessary to cover the totality of what he would be out in order to cover up the fact that this wasn't a straight line reimbursement. It was simply a deal to disguise the $130,000 payment. So they didn't have to ultimately report it on a campaign finance disclosure. I mean, if he's saying that, hey, this is bonus money for Michael Cohen, then why would you ever have to report that on a financial statement? Conversely, if they're reimbursing him for $130,000 because Donald Trump knew that he was paying Stormy Daniels $130,000, then there is a requirement under those circumstances to report it on your campaign finance disclosure statement, your federal statement. And so Exhibit 35 is Weisselberg's handwritten notes on Michael Cohen's bank statement reflecting the payment of what the prosecutors will argue is hush money. And in addition to setting up this foundation to cover Michael Cohen. So when they go after Michael Cohen, okay, fine. You know, Michael Cohen lied about this, he lied about that, but his testimony is corroborated. His testimony is corroborated by Stormy Daniels, for example. His testimony is corroborated by Pecker. And in addition to those witness corroborations, actual witness testimony corroborations, they're corroborated by the records. They're corroborated by not only bank statements, but they're corroborated by handwritten notes. Not only Weisselberg, who will be absent, but his handwritten notes, but also McConney's handwritten notes. And so, you know, why would you pay, times two for tax purposes unless there was some fraudulent intent? And so now you've got a witness on the witness stand now, Madeline Westerhout. She was his assistant. And she was the director of Oval Office operations when he went to the White House. So now you have to establish, and she basically is doing that, establish that, well, he got the checks. And the testimony previously was that those checks were sent from the Trump Organization courier over to the White House. And he signed those checks from his personal account, his own personal account. So now he's reimbursing Donald Trump, not from the Trump organization, but he's reimbursing Donald Trump from his own personal account.
So, Chad, you were saying the other day that you didn't think that the prosecution had brought it home yet. Since you know where they're trying to go and you know what the evidence is, whether they're doing it effectively or not, do you personally believe he's good for the felony?
I do. Yes, I do. Now, whether they prove it, obviously, nobody is, and Donald Trump isn't going to testify. And so what you have to do is you have to establish it circumstantially, and you have to establish it with documents, for example. So we know that Donald Trump signed those checks, $35,000, but per month, to Michael Cohen. We know that there was absolutely no retainer agreement. We know that, and Michael Cohen will corroborate, that there was no time cards and time elements submitted for those payments. And so now you have Donald Trump, and I suppose what they could say is that, well, he was signing checks, but he really didn't know what he was signing. But the evidence thus far has been, and the prosecution will certainly argue in closing, that at a minimum, Trump would have asked questions before those payments came out of his personal funds. And so you're not going to get somebody say, well, Donald Trump told me that he was signing personal checks out of his personal funds because he was reimbursing Michael Cohen because he paid Stormy Daniels and we didn't want to report it on our financial statement. You know, so it all, you know, fits together hand in glove, and we're not there yet. Okay. But we're coming pretty close. And with the documentary evidence, you know, kind of boring, but absolutely necessary. And that will all fit together when they give their closing arguments at the end of the day. So, and Trump, as I said the other day, obviously Stormy Daniels, while I don't believe that she was critical in any respect, she served a purpose because certainly she was paid. And also, the defense has denied that
even happened.
Trump had anything to do with Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, not good for the credibility.
That's a huge problem. That's a huge problem. And so, in order to rebut that, he's going to have to testify. And you know that's not going to happen.
No.
So those are critical pieces, little pieces of information that will fit together ultimately. And a good lawyer, a good trial lawyer, will probably at least prepare in part his closing argument, and particularly a prosecutor will prepare his closing argument probably at the very beginning of the trial, before the trial even starts, because he knows where he wants to go. And he has to have those pieces fit together.
Okay.
And so there you are.
That makes sense. All right, buddy. Thank you. We appreciate it, Chet.
You bet.
Dave Murray coming up at the bottom of the hour. It should be a little different with Dave. I don't think we have any storms in the foreseeable future, so that's nice. Been crazy lately, right?
Oh, yeah.
Did you guys do anything nutty last night?
Not that I recall.
I just got a few minutes of real whipping rain and wind and all that kind of stuff. Want some fun facts?
Absolutely.
67% of American adults had coffee in the past day, more than any other beverage, including tap or bottled water.
Mm-hmm.
That's something.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we're saying, was it yesterday? Like, which would you give up, coffee or chocolate?
Mm-hmm. Goodbye, chocolate. Sorry to all the chocolate lovers out there, but I need my coffee.
Speaking of popular, when lions are mating, they do it between 20 and 40 times a day.
Wow.
They don't even eat.
It's impressive.
When would you have time?
Yeah, when would you have time?
But still, wouldn't you need to fuel up? I mean,
you'd think so.
Maybe in the days before, like, get a couple extra antelope.
I hope that's just one day. The mating day.
The day.
Like, tomorrow, I'm out.
Just lying, just sleeping in the savannah the next day.
Yeah, just don't even look at me.
It's like somebody tranked him.
It's illegal in Ohio to use Santa Claus in ads for alcohol.
I don't know that I've ever noticed a Santa Claus alcohol ad.
I don't know.
I mean, it just doesn't seem right.
Yeah.
Should it be illegal, though?
No, but
I mean, I don't like it. I think it's stupid, but is that really something that should be against the law?
We need a law for this.
Steve Urkel got married.
Oh, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Who to
who? Was it? Was it to Laura? Tell me it was to Laura.
It was.
No, it was not. That would make me so happy.
Who's Laura?
That was his love interest on Family Matters.
Kate Hudson claims that she can see dead people.
Sure. I believe that. Mm. She's like one of those hippies, you know.
And Questlove said that he's disgusted with the Drake Kendrick Lamar beef. He said that hip hop is truly dead.
Hmm.
That's a stand.
It is a stand. The rest of the world seems pretty captivated with it. It's me and Questlove who aren't paying that much attention.
Is something really dead because two people are annoying, though?
I think Questlove's point is that it's kind of jumped the shark.
Oh, no, I agree with that. Like, this thing is ridiculous, but what does that mean? Doesn't mean the rest of the music genre is dead.
Right. Do you have beefs in heavy metal?
Oh, there's always stuff like that. Yeah, people that like certain kinds don't like other kinds, and like metal's dead, and this, it's all stupid.
334 DGS on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us. Well, nice little break.
Yes, finally. Yeah. I'm a little down. I always get down after severe weather events.
Yeah.
Your body is like, you've been up. The adrenaline's been pumping for hour after hour after hour, and then it's like, okay.
Man, not just locally, but I mean all over the Midwest and the Southlands.
Yes. Yeah, and this is going to be a big outbreak today across the southeast part of the country, going up pretty close to New York City. And then that should finally get completely out of the picture as far as the U.S. is concerned, and things are calming down.
Yeah, good. So pretty consistent for the weekend?
Yeah, pretty much. We have a weak little cool front. We've had one come by, obviously, the stuff from yesterday. That's why the winds are a little gusty from the northwest. That they will stay gusty most of the night. Another little front comes by towards morning. Could be a sprinkle or a quick shower, then quickly going sunny. 68 below average degrees Friday afternoon. Almost chilly Friday night. 49 for the overnight low. The weekend looks great. Saturday, sunny. 72. Sunday for Mother's Day, sunny. And close to 80 degrees for the high. Count on upper 70s anyway. And going into next week, there's no big system in sight anyway.
Okay, nice. Dave, is it my imagination, or if not, why would it be that things seem to go worse just south of the city?
It's not your imagination. There's a couple of areas. One is to the north, up like up around Pike County in Missouri, up around Hannibal, Quincy, up towards Springfield in Illinois. That's a real hot zone. And then the south is also hot. Basically, Jefferson County, Monroe County, and points south and southeast. Exactly why, I'm not sure. I think those places are primarily out of the urban effect zone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when storms move into the metro area, about 50 miles around downtown St. Louis, they tend to die out a little bit. But if you live south and north, it doesn't have that effect.
Okay, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Headlines, Rage?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So former House Speaker Paul Ryan says he will not vote for former President Donald Trump this November. In a new interview, he explained, "Character is too important to me, and it's a job that requires the kind of character he just doesn't have." Ryan said he'd write in another Republican's name, as he claims he did in 2020.
Hmm. I didn't think about writing someone in.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never done that.
People say that that's throwing your vote away, or voting third party is throwing your vote away. No, it's not. It's your vote. As long as you go use your vote, you're doing your civic duty. That's your vote to do whatever you want to with. Now, you can get into the logistics of did it make a difference or not? Okay, but it's your vote. You do what you want with it.
And anyone who votes for RFK, for example, I respect your vote. But when he came out with the "a worm ate my brain" thing, like, I'm not happy that that happened to him, but I'm happy that it may affect enough people who won't vote for him. I just don't want him to be a spoiler. And even if he was a spoiler and it went my way, I'm so torn because I'm a third party guy and I think we need more than two parties. But then it's like, not in my backyard. Then it's like, but not this election, maybe the next election. So I'm as bad as anyone else.
Part of the problem with the way that our system works is, practically speaking, if you're not voting for a Democrat or Republican, you are throwing your vote away. It's not symbolically, you should be able to do what you want and make a statement, right? I can't personally live with voting for either of these two people. But is anybody listening to your statement?
Right, but should you be forced to?
No, you shouldn't be.
And I mean, I guess you can make the same argument, like if you live in Illinois and you're a Republican, like are you just throwing your vote away by voting?
That's exactly how I feel about the presidential election, almost all of them anyway. I mean, like, if we're going to continue to use the system that we have now, then in, what would you guys say? How many swing states do we really have at this moment? Six, seven?
Six.
Six. So if you're in any of the other 44 states, your vote really doesn't matter. If you're going to go against the grain of your state, you will lose if you vote for a Republican in California. Donald Trump is not going to be the nominee or not going to get the votes in California. And in, you know, just use Texas. Joe Biden is not going to win there. If you vote for them, it doesn't matter. And if we were doing straight popular vote, then everybody's vote counts exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So critics are calling out this new iPad commercial. I just saw it on the TV above Dave's head. So the commercial shows instruments, sculptures, paint pots, vinyl records, books, and more being crushed in a gigantic hydraulic press, which then opens back up to reveal the new iPad, the thinnest product that Apple has ever created, with the most advanced display and the incredible power of the M4 chip. But while people are like, oh, that's great that it can contain all that creativity, you're kind of telling us that this is a metaphor for how we are destroying all of these different things for technology and for profit.
I hate it. I hate it as a person. I hate it as a creative. And I hate it as a marketer. I just think it's tone deaf and stupid.
Yeah, this would have never happened if Steve Jobs was still with us. That's why every time Apple makes a questionable decision these days, I'm just like, oh, Steve would have never allowed this. All right. Donald Trump says that he will accept crypto for campaign donations. In multiple video clips uploaded to X, formerly Twitter, Trump appeared to tell a group of buyers of his NFTs that he intends to accept campaign donations in crypto, saying, quote, if you can't, I'll make sure you can. Can we donate to the Trump campaign using crypto? I believe the answer is yes.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
He also told the crowd that President Joe Biden, quote, doesn't even know what cryptocurrency is. All right. Another Boeing problem. A Boeing 737's tire burst during landing in Turkey on Thursday, with one of its tires bursting when it landed. I'm sorry, I just said that. No one was hurt, but the airline is denying Turkish media reports that the aircraft had landed on its nose, saying, no, it was just a tire issue.
Is there any sense that we are pigpiling on Boeing just because we have the coverage now? Or do you think, hey, it is what it is, and if you're not doing your job, you get called out?
I don't think we're pigpiling to point these things out. I think it's like anything else, though, once you notice, like once you get a new car and you start to see it everywhere you drive. Like, I just think it's one of those things where once you start to notice it, it does seem like there are a lot of problems.
Well, it's not a faulty couch, right? Like, if something goes wrong with a thing that flies, it's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. chemicals in our car interiors may cause cancer. Have you guys seen this new study? Most cars have flame retardant chemicals, which can cause cancer. In 99% of cars, these chemicals are contained. It's called TCIPP. It's currently under investigation by the U.S. National Toxicology Program as a potential carcinogen. But this is used in, like I said, 99% of cars. This is really bad news.
That is bad news. No, I think my car is such a pit from the two dogs. I think it neutralizes.
Americans are increasingly saying that the U.S. is giving too much aid to Ukraine. A Pew Research poll released on Tuesday found that 31% of Americans believe the country provides too much aid, compared to 25% who believe the amount is about right, and 24% that believe the amount is not enough.
I mean, it's all gonna come down to what happens. If Ukraine is able to stave this off, and Russia goes back home, it will be a gigantic victory, and Congress people and Biden will look like the biggest geniuses in the world. If it goes on another few years, or if Russia somehow takes it over, it's going to be, you know, what a bunch of idiots.
Well, even if they do, though, what if we increase the cost of doing it so much that it ends up causing bigger problems down the road?
What do you mean?
Like, by all the damage that they've taken, all the soldiers that they've lost, all the equipment that they lost, the fact that they've revealed to the world they're actually not very good at this.
No, bit of a paper tiger.
I mean, like, does that? I'm asking this as a question, not making it as a statement. But does that not count as money well spent if it ends up putting them in a worse position where they can't do it again, or we learn something about them we didn't otherwise know?
Isn't it weird? It's like a guy in a bar who wants to fight, but he's not very big and tough, but he's got a gun.
Right.
That's sort of how it is with Russia, that they're not nearly as big and tough as we thought, but they've got the nukes.
Right, right.
But it's really going to take a lot for them to pull that gun out.
Well, I think for anybody in the world, it will take that.
Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery are teaming up for a triple play bundle of Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max. The companies announced the new streaming bundle will be available this summer in the United States. They don't have any pricing info or a specific launch date yet, but they say it will be available for purchase on any of the three streaming platforms' websites and offered as both ad-supported and ad-free plans.
Can I just say, this shows my age. This wears me out.
Me too.
Just, I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of, I don't know what I have. I don't know what I don't have. I don't know what I'm paying double for. It's like, stop it.
Well, the bundle is good. I have Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
Yeah,
right,
same
now
here.
I'm bundling Disney Plus and Hulu. If I can bundle Max into that too and save $5 a month, that's great. But you have to jump through the hoops to make that happen.
Yeah, I hope that you don't have to be a new customer to do it either,
because
that would be a pain in the ass. Because ESPN's obviously tied to all that too, so. Mm-hmm.
All right, final story here. A rare pineapple is now available in the United States. It is an ultra-premium luxury designer fruit called Ruby Glow pineapples. They have red shells, and they were officially introduced to the U.S. market this month.
How much do they cost?
$400 to $500.
Retailers are going to set the price, so I don't have
a... Let's see.
It's $400 to $500.
Is it really?
Per apple. Yeah.
Per pineapple?
Really? Yeah, it's just...
Is it good?
They say it's no better than any other pineapple. It's just that it's scarce. So it's supply and demand.
So it just tastes like a pineapple.
It tastes like a pineapple. It just looks different, and they're so rare, and people want it enough that they'll pay $500.
Idiots.
Wow.
Idiots. Yeah. Well, it's the thing. It debuted in China. In Asia, like, fruit is a big gift item over there, so it's just kind of a cultural difference thing. So I get why some people would want to pay that much for it.
Dave, you big pineapple guy with all your Hawaii?
I love pineapple. I really do. Not enough to pay $500 for one. But.
No.
But it's the premium pineapple.
You know what? I think that could be a show expense. Let's buy one.
Just like
bring in an average pineapple.
The world's best toilet paper we didn't buy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
That's why I've lamented that on many occasions.
What was that price?
$300?
It was like $300 for a roll, right? Or was it a pack of three or something?
Pack of eight.
Oh, a pack of eight. Oh, that's a bargain.
It. Yeah, come on. We're making money.
That's almost Costco prices.
COVID. All right. Thank you, Dave. What a good song.
Love this song.
Yeah, I never did. I for some reason, it never connected with me when I was young and into like the 3-minute rock and roll songs, but good tune. Wheels, tell me about the teacher that beat up a kid.
Oh, have you heard anything about this story? So it's a substitute teacher in Las Vegas, got into a confrontation with a student, and they were arguing back and forth. And apparently the story is, and this is some of what the students who watched it, because this happened in the hallways at the school, and it's on video. Mm. The kid was, they were arguing. The students around said the kid was being disrespectful. Somebody said that he had used a racial slur or more than one towards the African-American teacher, and they got into a fist fight. Like, they squared up, and the teacher knocked him out cold.
Oh.
And then after knocking him out cold, stood over him and slapped him in the face. Like, the kid was out, like, on the ground, out.
You can't do that.
the teacher's being charged with a crime and all that. But, like, we've heard these and seen these horror stories of schools where, like, I don't know if you've seen the video of the kid that was smacking the teacher in the face.
No.
Well, there was a high school kid, and he was smacking his teacher, and she was just like, I don't even know what to do. Like, what can I do here? And so there are times when students are out of hand, right? And there may be times where you might have to defend yourself from a student. But there can't ever...
334 DGS on KMOX. Dave Murray joins us. Well, nice little break.
Yes, finally. Yeah. I'm a little down. I always get down after severe weather events.
Yeah.
Your body is like, you've been up. The adrenaline's been pumping for hour after hour after hour, and then it's like, okay.
Man, not just locally, but I mean all over the Midwest and the Southlands.
Yes. Yeah, and this is going to be a big outbreak today across the southeast part of the country, going up pretty close to New York City. And then that should finally get completely out of the picture as far as the U.S. is concerned, and things are calming down.
Yeah, good. So pretty consistent for the weekend?
Yeah, pretty much. We have a weak little cool front. We've had one come by, obviously, the stuff from yesterday. That's why the winds are a little gusty from the northwest. That they will stay gusty most of the night. Another little front comes by towards morning. Could be a sprinkle or a quick shower, then quickly going sunny. 68 below average degrees Friday afternoon. Almost chilly Friday night. 49 for the overnight low. The weekend looks great. Saturday, sunny. 72. Sunday for Mother's Day, sunny. And close to 80 degrees for the high. Count on upper 70s anyway. And going into next week, there's no big system in sight anyway.
Okay, nice. Dave, is it my imagination, or if not, why would it be that things seem to go worse just south of the city?
It's not your imagination. There's a couple of areas. One is to the north, up around Pike County in Missouri, up around Hannibal, Quincy, up towards Springfield in Illinois. That's a real hot zone. And then the south is also hot. Basically, Jefferson County, Monroe County, and points south and southeast. Exactly why, I'm not sure. I think those places are primarily out of the urban effect zone. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when storms move into the metro area, about 50 miles around downtown St. Louis, they tend to die out a little bit. But if you live south and north, it doesn't have that effect.
Okay, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Headlines, Rage?
Brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. So former House Speaker Paul Ryan says he will not vote for former President Donald Trump this November. In a new interview, he explained, "Character is too important to me, and it's a job that requires the kind of character he just doesn't have." Ryan said he'd write in another Republican's name, as he claims he did in 2020.
Hmm. I didn't think about writing someone in.
Yeah, I mean,
I've never done that.
People say that that's throwing your vote away, or voting third party is throwing your vote away. No, it's not. It's your vote. As long as you go use your vote, you're doing your civic duty. That's your vote to do whatever you want to with. Now, you can get into the logistics of did it make a difference or not? Okay, but it's your vote. You do what you want with it.
And anyone who votes for RFK, for example, I respect your vote. But when he came out with a worm ate my brain thing, like, I'm not happy that that happened to him, but I'm happy that it may affect enough people who won't vote for him. I just don't want him to be a spoiler. And even if he was a spoiler and it went my way, I'm so torn because I'm a third party guy and I think we need more than two parties. But then it's like, not in my backyard. Then it's like, but not this election, maybe the next election. So I'm as bad as anyone else.
Part of the problem with the way that our system works is, practically speaking, if you're not voting for a Democrat or Republican, you are throwing your vote away. It's not symbolically, you should be able to do what you want and make a statement, right? I can't personally live with voting for either of these two people. But is anybody listening to your statement?
Right, but should you be forced to?
No, you shouldn't be.
And I mean, I guess you can make the same argument, like if you live in Illinois and you're a Republican, like, are you just throwing your vote away by voting?
That's exactly how I feel about the presidential election, almost all of them anyway. I mean, like, if we're going to continue to use the system that we have now, then in, what would you guys say? How many swing states do we really have at this moment? Six, seven?
Six.
So if you're in any of the other 44 states, your vote really doesn't matter. If you're going to go against the grain of your state, you will lose if you vote for a Republican in California. Donald Trump is not going to be the nominee, or not going to get the votes in California. And in, you know, just use Texas. Joe Biden is not going to win there. If you vote for them, it doesn't matter. And if we were doing straight popular vote, then everybody's vote counts exactly the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So critics are calling out this new iPad commercial. I just saw it on the TV above Dave's head. So the commercial shows instruments, sculptures, paint pots, vinyl records, books, and more being crushed in a gigantic hydraulic press, which then opens back up to reveal the new iPad. the thinnest product that Apple has ever created, with the most advanced display and the incredible power of the M4 chip. But while people are like, oh, that's great that it can contain all that creativity, you're kind of telling us that this is a metaphor for how we are destroying all of these different things for technology and for profit.
I hate it. I hate it as a person. I hate it as a creative, and I hate it as a marketer. I just think it's tone deaf and stupid.
Yeah, this would have never happened if Steve Jobs was still with us. That's why every time Apple makes a questionable decision these days, I'm just like, oh, Steve would have never allowed this. All right. Donald Trump says that he will accept crypto for campaign donations. In multiple video clips uploaded to X, formerly Twitter, Trump appeared to tell a group of buyers of his NFTs that he intends to accept campaign donations in crypto, saying, quote, if you can't, I'll make sure you can. Can we donate to the Trump campaign using crypto? I believe the answer is yes.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
He also told the crowd that President Joe Biden, quote, doesn't even know what cryptocurrency is. All right. Another Boeing problem. A Boeing 737's tire burst during landing in Turkey on Thursday, with one of its tires bursting when it landed. I'm sorry, I just said that. No one was hurt, but the airline is denying Turkish media reports that the aircraft had landed on its nose, saying, no, it was just a tire issue.
Is there any sense that we are pigpiling on Boeing just because we have the coverage now? Or do you think, hey, it is what it is, and if you're not doing your job, you get called out?
I don't think we're pigpiling to point these things out. I think it's like anything else, though. Once you notice, like, once you get a new car and you start to see it everywhere you drive, like, I just think it's one of those things where once you start to notice it, it does seem like there are a lot of problems.
Well, it's not a faulty couch, right? Like, if something goes wrong with a thing that flies, it's kind of a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. chemicals in our car interiors may cause cancer. Have you guys seen this new study? Most cars have flame retardant chemicals, which can cause cancer. In 99% of cars, these chemicals are contained. It's called TCIPP. It's currently under investigation by the U.S. National Toxicology Program as a potential carcinogen. But this is used in, like I said, 99% of cars. This is really bad news.
That is bad news. No, I think my car is such a pit from the two dogs. I think it neutralizes.
Americans are increasingly saying that the U.S. is giving too much aid to Ukraine. A Pew Research poll released on Tuesday found that 31% of Americans believe the country provides too much aid, compared to 25% who believe the amount is about right, and 24% that believe the amount is not enough.
I mean, it's all gonna come down to what happens. If Ukraine is able to stave this off, and Russia goes back home, it will be a gigantic victory, and the Congress people and Biden will look like the biggest geniuses in the world. If it goes on another few years, or if Russia somehow takes it over, it's going to be, what a bunch of idiots.
Well, even if they do, though, what if we increase the cost of doing it so much that it ends up causing bigger problems down the road?
What do you mean?
Like, by all the damage that they've taken, all the soldiers that they've lost, all the equipment that they lost, the fact that they've revealed to the world they're actually not very good at this.
No, bit of a paper tiger.
I mean, like, does that? I'm asking this as a question, not making it as a statement. But does that not count as money well spent if it ends up putting them in a worse position where they can't do it again, or we learn something about them we didn't otherwise know?
Isn't it weird? It's like a guy in a bar who wants to fight, but he's not very big and tough, but he's got a gun.
Right.
That's sort of how it is with Russia, that they're not nearly as big and tough as we thought, but they've got the nukes.
Right, right.
But it's really going to take a lot for them to pull that gun out.
Well, I think for anybody in the world, it will take that.
Disney and Warner Brothers Discovery are teaming up for a triple play bundle of Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max. The companies announced the new streaming bundle will be available this summer in the United States. They don't have any pricing info or a specific launch date yet, but they say it will be available for purchase on any of the three streaming platforms' websites and offered as both ad-supported and ad-free plans.
Can I just say, this shows my age. This wears me out.
Me too.
Just I'm so sick of this. I'm so sick of, I don't know what I have. Yeah. I don't know what I don't have. I don't know what I'm paying double for. It's like, stop it.
Well, the bundle is good. I have Disney Plus, Hulu, and Max.
Yeah,
right
same
now
here.
I'm bundling Disney Plus and Hulu. If I can bundle Max into that too and save $5 a month, that's great. But you have to jump through the hoops to make that happen.
Yeah, I hope that you don't have to be a new customer to do it either, because
that would be a
pain in the ass. Because ESPN's obviously tied to all that too, so. Mm-hmm.
All right, final story here. A rare pineapple is now available in the United States. It is an ultra-premium luxury designer fruit called Ruby Glow pineapples. They have red shells, and they were officially introduced to the U.S. market this month.
How much do they cost?
$400 to $500.
Retailers are going to set the price, so I don't have
I do.
A...
All oh, right, you
yeah,
see.
It's $400 to $500.
Is it really?
Per apple. Yeah.
Per pineapple?
Really?
Yeah, it's just...
Is it good?
They say it's no better than any other pineapple. It's just that it's scarce. So it's supply and demand.
So it just tastes like a pineapple.
It tastes like a pineapple. It just looks different, and they're so rare, and people want it enough that they'll pay $500.
Idiots.
Wow.
Idiots. Yeah. Well, it's the thing. It debuted in China. In Asia, like, fruit is a big gift item over there, so it's just kind of a cultural difference thing. So I get why some people would want to pay that much for it.
Dave, you big pineapple guy with all your Hawaii?
I love pineapple. Me too. I really do. Not enough to pay $500 for one. But.
No.
But it's the premium pineapple.
You know what? I think that could be a show expense. Let's buy one.
Just like
bring in an average pineapple.
The world's best toilet paper we didn't buy.
Right.
Yeah.
Boy, I've lamented that on many occasions.
What was that price?
$300?
It was like $300 for a roll, right? Or was it a pack of three or something?
Pack of eight.
Oh, a pack of eight. Oh, that's a bargain.
Yeah, come on. We're making money.
That's almost Costco prices.
COVID. All right. Thank you, Dave. What a good song.
Love this song.
Yeah, I never did. I for some reason it never connected with me when I was young and into like the 3-minute rock and roll songs, but good tune. Wheels, tell me about the teacher that beat up a kid.
Oh, have you heard anything about this story? So it's a substitute teacher in Las Vegas, got into a confrontation with a student, and they were arguing back and forth, and apparently the story is, and this is some of what the students who watched it, because this happened in the hallways at the school and it's on video. The kid was, they were arguing. The students around said the kid was being disrespectful. Somebody said that he had used a racial slur or more than one towards the African-American teacher. And they got into a fist fight. Like, they squared up and the teacher knocked him out cold.
Oh.
And then after knocking him out cold, stood over him and slapped him in the face. Like, the kid was out, like, on the ground, out.
You can't do that.
the teacher's being charged with a crime and all that. But, like, we've heard these and seen these horror stories of schools where, like, I don't know if you've seen the video of the kid that was smacking the teacher in the face.
No.
Well, there was a high school kid, and he was smacking his teacher, and she was just like, I don't even know what to do. Like, what can I do here? And so there are times when students are out of hand, right? And there may be times where you might have to defend yourself from a student. But there can't ever be a scenario where disrespect leads to you punishing, like, physically attacking a teenager, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is obvious. There's no questions here.
That's
like,
an easy one.
I don't care what the person, I don't care if he spit on you. You know, you're the grown-up, they're the teenager. They should get in trouble, right?
Yeah, bad trouble.
We could even call spitting. I mean, that's considered assault, right? So you can press charges, you can do all that, but when you're getting squared up into a fist fight, you are in the wrong profession. You need to get 100%. Out of there, and you need to go to jail.
What a good song.
Love this song.
Yeah, I never did. For some reason, it never connected with me when I was young and into like the 3-minute rock and roll songs, but good tune. Wheels, tell me about the teacher that beat up a kid.
Oh, have you heard anything about this story? So it's a substitute teacher in Las Vegas, got into a confrontation with a student, and they were arguing back and forth. And apparently the story is, and this is some of what the students who watched it, because this happened in the hallways at the school and it's on video. The kid was, they were arguing. The students around said the kid was being disrespectful. Somebody said that he had used a racial slur or more than one towards the African-American teacher. And they got into a fist fight. Like, they squared up and the teacher knocked him out cold.
Oh.
And then after knocking him out cold, stood over him and slapped him in the face. Like, the kid was out, like, on the ground, out.
You can't do that.
And the teacher's being charged with a crime and all that. But, like, We've heard these and seen these horror stories of schools where, like, I don't know if you've seen the video of the kid that was smacking the teacher in the face.
No.
Well, there was a high school kid, and he was smacking his teacher, and she was just like, I don't even know what to do. Like, what can I do here? And so there are times when students are out of hand, right? And there may be times where you might have to defend yourself from a student. But there can't ever be a scenario where disrespect leads to you punishing, like, physically attacking a teenager, right?
Right. Yeah.
Like, this is obvious. There's no questions here.
That's
like,
an easy one.
I don't care what the person, I don't care if he spit on you. You know, you're the grown-up, they're the teenager. They should get in trouble,
yeah,
right?
Bad trouble.
We could even call spitting. I mean, that's considered assault, right? So you can press charges, you can do all that, but when you're getting squared up into a fist fight,
yeah,
you are in the wrong profession. You need to get 100%. Out of there, and you need to go to jail.